Joint Committee on Voicing School Community Meeting, Friday, May 7th, 1999, hearing room F, 8 a.m.
Call a full Ways and Means Committee to order. Are any House members out there?
Yes, sir.
Heard
sir.
Listen.
Heard an idiot, are we?
Listen, they're all here.
You can't see either, can you?
All around the world.
For the reference.
Representative Rutherford.
Mr. Co-Chair, I believe that based on a prior arrangement and understanding, I owe you a milkshake, sir.
Yes, I beat you down here.
You did.
Right. Well, I'm a lot faster and younger.
What flavor?
Chocolate.
We did not specify the... Thank you for bringing that up.
Arsenic is a good flavor, too.
Okay, let's just listen to the order rolling here.
I think we've got about seven items today. Okay, first item up is House Bill 5056, Oregon Public Broadcasting, Representative Leonard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Oregon Public Broadcasting. House Bill 5056 is the state's plan for OPB. The bill comes from the General Government Subcommittee. OPB is a private, nonprofit, educational and public broadcasting network serving Oregon through non-commercial public television and public radio stations. OPB also maintains the statewide transmission system that serves as the state's emergency alert system backbone. The 1993 Legislative Assembly privatized OPB and provided for a supplemental grant to the Department of Administrative Services. The committee recommends a grant of $3,350,509 general fund, which is increased 2.8% from the 97-99 legislatively adopted budget. This is the current service level and is the same amount the governor recommended. The amount funds part of OPD's educational programming and part of its cost to maintain the emergency alert transmission system. Subcommittee recommends passage of that bill.
Thank you, Representative Leonard. Are there any questions, comments,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Senator Ferriero.
Will the chair yield to the question?
No,
I won't.
That's right. Here goes the Grant, Grant High School boys again.
The carrier will yield.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wondered what program you slot to tune into the Rush Limbaugh show on the OPB radio broadcast.
That would be 620 on your AM dial, Senator Ferriero, when you're driving through the great Willamette Valley.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for that. Right. Any further questions, comments, any no vote? Hearing none and seeing none, House Bill 5056 is passed. Senate Bill 5501, Commission for the Blind, Representative Ross. Representative Ross is not here. Would you carry that? Are you on that committee? Who's on that committee?
I haven't been on that.
Yes, all right. Let's have somebody from the committee. Wesley, you're a little bit eager today. Or you lost the milkshake.
Okay.
Senator Q-Tub.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senate Bill 5501 is the budget bill for the Commission for the Blind. The Commission provides vocational rehabilitation and independent living services to blind persons. The agency is funded with federal 1973 Rehabilitation Act funds, a variety of other funds, and general funds. Other fund revenue sources include Social Security reimbursement, sales income from the Industries for the Blind program, cooperative service agreements with school districts and other state agencies, and donations and bequest income. General fund and other funds are used to match Federal Rehabilitation Act funds. The budget for the Commission on the Blind for the Blind is about $11.5 million and includes about $1.4 million of general funds, $25,215 less than the governor's recommended budget. The budget includes $15,921 reduction in the other funds, the result of two budgetary changes. A technical adjustment that reduces other funds by $87,195 and increases federal funds by a like amount, and the addition of $71,274 of interest and investment income from agencies' bequest and donation funds. This additional interest and investment income is split evenly between the Older Blind Program and the Vocational Rehabilitation Program. The agency is directed to use the additional revenue for the Vocational Program to match any available Federal Rehabilitation Act funds. The budget report includes a budget note that recommends that the Joint Legislative Audit Committee conduct an audit of the agency and directs the agency to present a plan to the Emergency Board on how the agency's services would be expanded with additional vocational service funds. The plan is to be developed cooperatively with the Department of Human Resources and the Department of Education. Okay. We urge passage.
Thank you, Senator Shuter.
Good evening.
Representative Roth.
I thank the chair of the subcommittee for carrying my bill since my parking place was blocked in the basement and I couldn't get in. However, I do feel that this budget is an important budget, and I think that the request for a plan before the additional money is allocated is very wise. I did have a meeting yesterday with the director and with the chair of their commission and stressed the importance of a quality plan for the e-board before this money is released, and I would urge that staff and the e-board look carefully at their plan because we have asked them to make a serious attempt to outline exactly how they're going to spend the money. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Roth. Any further questions, comments? Are there any no votes on the Commission for the Blind? Okay, it's Senate Bill 5501 is Senate Bill 5516, Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, Senator Ferry Olie.
Thank you, Chairman. Senate Bill 5516 is the budget bill for Delgani, the Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. Okay. It comes with the unanimous approval from Ways and Means Cancer Research Subcommittee. The committee felt this was an extremely important budget for those of us who live in geologically active or hazardous areas. The department gathers data, maps, identifies potential hazards in the Oregon's geologically active zones resulting from tsunamis, landslides, and earthquakes. In addition, they also regulate the state's surface mining. The approved budget continues all agency programs. The subcommittee strongly committed to this agency and its performance. In reviewing our budget, we determined a 2% reduction in services and supplies is more appropriate than the standard 4% reduction. In addition, the subcommittee recommends the appropriation of emergency board of $65,185 for services and supplies until the agency demonstrates a plan to use these funds. Package 101 provided $250,000 general funds for a postal field office and a one-time employee. And the purpose of this package is for hazard identification, mapping, and public education of coastal areas, particularly with regard to landslides and tsunami issues. Understanding the general fund constraints, but realizing the importance of the package, the subcommittee approved the package, but provided only $1 in the general fund application. The agency will need to finance this package from within their current service level, or if there are any add-back resources are identified in the future, the subcommittee sees this package as a high priority and recommends it to your consideration. The subcommittee urges your unanimous support for Senate Bill 5516.
Thank you, Senator Ferrioli. Any questions?
Chair, I'm glad that the subcommittee saw fit to give some special consideration to coastal problems. I think from what I'm hearing from experts, they believe that the possibilities of earthquakes and tsunamis and things like that are real possibility into the future, and those could be quite severe. And so I'm hoping that we can have the kind of expertise there that will be most helpful. Funding it with $1 and asking them to find the money internally, I think, is a real problem for them. And I would hope that we could find additional funding so that position can be adequately funded.
Okay, thank you, Senator Crowe. Senator Crowe.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Crowe, the students felt very strongly that this is a worthwhile program. The current services provided by Delgani in this area consist largely of education, information publishing, brochures, orientation, evacuation plans and the like for those kinds of efforts. It's a fairly extensive program now. The additional full-time FTE at the coast was an optional package that the budget would have put forward. There's a recognition that as we learn more about the potential for subduction, earthquakes, and tsunamis, the learning curve and the need curve have identified that we probably do need to move in this direction. Nobody could give us any kind of a time scale about the need. We probably have needed this person for the last 100 years and haven't known it. And again, if there's an ad back opportunity, that would be something that we would like to see the committee concern itself.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Representative Meserly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd also like to support that line of thinking. The need on the coastal areas all along the coast, but particularly down the south coast where they have identified as the largest, most risky area of the state, I guess, one way to put it. The communities simply need, for safety reasons, need to know what to expect and how it would impact the area should we have a tsunami or a major earthquake, and so that they can over time build in the emergencies and the programs to deal with the damage and move the population. So, again, I would urge this as a committee and as the Ways and Means Committee to, if we are able to add backs, that this is one position that makes an awful lot of sense. It would be a position that would cover the entire coast, and we have, I think there's three areas. Walport's another one that is at high risk. And I believe Tillamook is the third one. There's three areas in the coast that are really exposed at this time. So,
okay. Thank you, Representative Meserly. Any further comments, questions?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Yeats.
I want to know, why is federal funding reduced by about 50.9%?
Okay, Senator Yates, you want staff or...
Well, everything was reduced because there was a project ongoing that was completed.
Having brought that project to closure,
we authorized the spending authority for the agency.
Okay. Senator Fisher?
Reiterating all the reasons, I want to add my support to the chat back if there's any possibility of doing.
Okay. Any further questions, comments, any no votes? Seeing none. Senate Bill 5516. Senate Bill 5524, State Library, Senator Crow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 5524 is the budget for the State Library. It comes to you with the unanimous approval of your Ways and Means General Government Subcommittee. The State Library is very focused on its mission and has three key goals. One, to help local libraries improve their library services throughout the state. Two, to provide research services to the legislature and to state agencies. And three, to serve visually impaired and disabled Oregonians with Braille materials and recorded books under the Talking Book and Braille Services Program. The approved budget will allow the State Library to continue current services and maintain the ready-to-read program at the 1997-99 level of 75 cents per child. Mr. President, or Mr. Chair, the committee was very interested in that program and hopes that, if possible, that program can be enhanced a bit. We think it's a fine program. The Talking Book and the Braille Service is a program where the federal government provides the tapes, books, and mailing at no charge to the program. The State Library must provide staffing and supplies to store, maintain, and process the books and tapes. This budget adds other funds to support a three-quarters time position in the Talking Book and Braille Service. This position will provide additional help in processing and mailing the books. They mail out over 1,400 books and tapes daily and provide this service using 44% volunteer help. The budget also adds $71,305 and other funds to purchase systems furniture for newly remodeled areas of the State Library.
This purchase will better accommodate staff in minimal space. This is a good budget. Your General Government Committee recommends approval of Senate Bill 5524.
Thank you, Senator Trope. Representative Ross.
Question. How much was the increase for the talking book service of the blind? In terms of the FTE, you stated it.
Staff, please. Staff, can you help?
Okay. What's his position, what it does is they had the position within their budget before, and they've actually shifted the FTE from one program to another program.
And so what is the total FTE allocated?
0.75.
0.75. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robinson. Representative Schrader.
Yeah, I have a question regarding, was there any discussion committee on the assessment fees that the State Library charges other agencies?
We did talk about those and generally decided that they were okay and didn't make any changes.
Okay, go ahead.
And just a comment. And some of the other budgets, particularly the smaller, like health boards and stuff, my impression is the way it was assessed is like on an FTE basis. And some of the smaller boards in particular were hit pretty hard with, you know, a half person or one person FTE increase, which would be like half of their agency. And their assessment will go up very, very dramatically. So I had some real questions about how the...
I think generally we're working on the problem of GAS assessments. Generally, this is one of the GAS assessments to try to handle those. I don't know if Chair Butler wants to comment about that or not.
Go ahead, Tom.
I would like to have Katie reference the issue of the assessments because we did go ahead and authorize a modification in the assessment. My recollection is that did we move it?
What was the question, Representative Butler?
I'm trying to remember if we moved the assessment for the State Library. That's being assessed for each FTE within the state right now, if we modified that so that it would enhance general funds within the other budget.
If I'm hearing you correctly, you're asking if we did do that?
Yes.
No, the adjustment that we made was on the Attorney General, where we made that reduction on the assessment. The assessments to these agencies are on two bases. One is on an FTE basis and also on usage basis. There's actually two portions to that assessment.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, does that help, Representative Schrader?
Then I'll make a statement on that. I'm a strong supporter of the library, State Library. My wife's a librarian. But I do have a problem with the way the assessment thing is set up here, so I may just be a token no vote just to raise the awareness level so that we can address this issue in the future.
Okay, thank you. Further comments? Questions? Are there any no votes? Representative Schrader? Okay, any other no votes? They let the record show there's one no vote on Senate Bill 6524, Representative Schrader. State Library budget has passed. Next budget is Senate Bill 5538, the Department of Veterans Affairs, Senator Cutaia.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 5538 is a budget bill for the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and the agency finances home and farm loans for Oregon veterans and provides counseling and claim services, educational benefits, and conservatorship services to veterans, their dependents, and survivors. The department operates skilled nursing care in Alzheimer's disease facility in the Dalles, which opened in November of 97. The subcommittee recommended operating budget is $2,415,136 general fund and $36,730,135 other funds. The budget is 21% higher than $97.99 estimated expenditures due to a phase-in of the new veterans fund for its first full biennium, which is operated entirely with other funds. A budget note was added requesting that the department return to the emergency board following the Senior and Disabled Services Division inspection of the home and report on the inspection results. The budget includes improvements to outdated technology, equipment, air conditioning, and carpeting. And just to go back for 1 minute about the department returning to the emergency board, that some of you may know that in the newspaper there was some coverage of in the Alzheimer's ward there at that home. The headline said something about fighting. We were told actually that one of the residents shoved another one of the residents. And my comment was, as often we get big headlines about bad news, and if there really is a change that they're addressing it right now, and when they come back to give them a clean slate, we as legislators don't hear about that. That's why we suggested they come to the emergency board. The general fund is used to support veteran counseling and claim services and aid programs, including partial funding for county veteran service offices and conservatorship services. The subcommittee reduced the department's general fund by 3% for vacancy savings and approved a package of $23,320 general fund, which will help to maintain the current level of training in county veteran service offices and educational assistance for veterans, and the subcommittee recommends approval.
Thank you, Senator Cuta. Questions, comments? Are there any no votes in the Department of Veterans Affairs budget? Seeing none and seeing none, Senate Bill 5538 has passed. Other bills reported out of subcommittee, House Bill 2619 relating to substitute teachers, Representative Minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. House Bill 2619 modifies the method of calculating salaries for substitute teachers in school districts with a salary scale after the 10th consecutive day of substituting for the same teacher. The per diem salary would be the higher of a 1/190th of the employing school district's annual salary for a beginning teacher with a bachelor's degree, or B, 85% of the 1/190th of the statewide average salary for a beginning teacher with a bachelor's degree. Currently, for the first 10 days of substitute work, teachers receive a per diem amount of at least 85% of 1/190th of the statewide average salary for a beginning teacher with a bachelor's degree. The per diem for substitute teaching for more than 10 consecutive days in any one assignment for the same teacher is based on 1/190th of the employee's school district's annual salary for a beginning teacher with a bachelor's degree. In some districts, the district salary is less than 85% of the statewide average salary and results in substitute teachers receiving less pay per day after 10 days in the same assignment. The Education Subcommittee discussed the limited number of school districts affected by this bill and the minimal fiscal impact to those districts. For the 1998-99 school year, this change would have affected only three school districts with an impact of between 18 cents and $2.02 per day. The Education Subcommittee recommends approval of the bill.
Thank you, Representative Minutes. Questions? Administrator.
Thank you, Chair. Were there any comments from the school district on this particular proposal?
We had we didn't have any comments. The impact was only affected three school districts, and the most was $2.02 per day. What's happening? Substitute teachers are working 10 days. After the 10th day, they have to revert back to the lower scale because of the way their budgets are set up. This was just they keep working at the same amount instead of being paid less for working longer. So it's pretty minimal impact.
Okay, Representative Mesley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question of the carrier. Just curious why we're getting involved in this issue, why this isn't a local school board issue?
I don't know. It was brought to the Legislative Substitute Teachers Association about it. It was before and a bill was introduced. And it was,
Mr. Chair, can I help with that question?
Okay. Senator Trope?
For a long time, the salaries for substitute teachers have been decided here. They don't take collective bargaining, and generally to get some uniformity, they've been asking us to make a decision about their salaries, so it is already in statute, and we've been doing that for as long as I've been in the legislature, every so often reviewing their salaries and setting a minimum. We don't set the maximum, we set a minimum salary.
We had a bill last session that I think said it was $78 a day, wasn't it? Who else do we have here?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to be
Partridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll bring my bus and the rest of my thing. I'll be voting because we're doing just the way the means impact on this, and I assume the policy committee took a look at this. I'll be voting in favor of this. I don't know if I will be voting in favor of it on the floor. I think we need some cost controls on what's going on with our teachers statewide. We're spending over $4 billion almost on teacher salaries as we're looking down the barrel of the K-12 budget. It seems odd to me on one hand that we're hooking it to teacher salaries upon which we have no control of. So that's bothersome to me because we don't have any control over what the initial salary sheet is either. So I'll be voting yes, but
sure.
Just for the, that's my concern.
Thank you, Representative Partridge. Representative Lynn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I would only say that I think it's a little misleading to say we don't have control over teacher salaries. We have a collective bargaining system in this state that balances the interests of the school districts with teachers, and that process determines what they're paid. And to be opposed to paying a substitute teacher 85% of the beginning salary of a teacher, which is already low, is something I can't find myself doing. These are people that, if I recall, really get no benefits and just simply get a salary. And so I don't mind looking for ways to cut money, but I'd be more interested in some other decisions this legislature has made to generate revenues for schools than I would requiring substitute teachers who are already working at very minimal salaries to bear the burden of our fiscal problems. So I'll be voting yes.
Okay, thank you, Representative Leonard, for the comments. Representative Trump?
Representative Leonard got some of what I was going to say. The minimum salary we've set for them is very minimal. A lot of these people have a great deal of experience, and they really are heroes when they come in suddenly to take over for a teacher that can't continue for some reason or another. And they get paid less than the average salary of a beginning teacher. So their salary level, the minimum we set. Now, sometimes they're paid more than the minimum, but not very often. Usually the minimum salary we set is what they're paid. And it's not, it's certainly a modest salary for people who really do an important job.
So, how do they get paid?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I was just affirming what Senator Trow was saying, that most school districts do adopt the minimum that is provided for in statute, and that is 85% of the average statewide salary for beginning teachers with a bachelor's degree. And in some cases, in very few cases, there are schools that once those substitute teachers go past 10 days, their beginning salaries on which the pay for over 10 days is calculated falls below 85% of the statewide average, and that's why this bill was introduced, so that they would at least get paid what they get paid for the first 10 days and not take a cut in pay simply because they stay past 10 days.
Mm. And, Mr. Chair, can staff clarify for us the benefit issue? My recollection was they do not get benefits viewed in the know.
That's correct. They do not get
the benefit
package that a full-time teacher would get.
Okay. Further questions, comments? Are there any no votes on House Bill 2619? Seeing none and hearing none, House Bill 2619 has passed. Budget bills previously reported out, Senate Bill 5520, the Department of Justice, Senator Hand.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, members, Senate Bill 5520 is the budget bill for the Department of Justice. It's been through this committee once, went to the floor of the Senate and passed, back over to the House, and then was sent back down to Ways and Means. The only action the subcommittee did was to reduce the Department's general fund by $569,898, or a 4% of the total. and then backfilled with other funds expenditure limitations with a like amount. And the net effect is that they're going to receive money from the tobacco tax settlement legal fees of an estimated $600,000. What this does is allow us to back out that much our general fund and insert the legal fees collection from the tobacco tax settlement. There is no opposition. The Attorney General supports it. And we would move to send it back out to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Hannan. Any comments? Questions? Are there any no votes on Senate Bill 55?
Yes. Okay. This is Representative Leonard. For the comments, Representative Trope.
Representative Leonard got some of what I was going to say. The minimum salary we've set for them is very minimal. A lot of these people have a great deal of experience, and they really are heroes when they come in suddenly to take over for a teacher that can't continue for some reason or another. And they get paid less than the average salary of a beginning teacher. So their salary level, the minimum we set. Now, sometimes they're paid more than the minimum, but not very often. Usually the minimum salary we set is what they're paid. And it's not, it's certainly a modest salary for people who really do an important job.
How do they get paid? Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I was just affirming what Senator Trow was saying, that most school districts do adopt the minimum that is provided for in statute, and that is 85% of the average statewide salary for beginning teachers with a bachelor's degree. And in some cases, in very few cases, there are schools that once those substitute teachers go past 10 days, their beginning salaries on which the pay for over 10 days is calculated falls below 85% of the statewide average, and that's why this bill was introduced, so that they would at least get paid what they get paid for the first 10 days and not take a cut in pay simply because they stay past 10 days.
Mm-hmm. And, Mr. Chair, can staff clarify for us the benefit issue? My recollection was they do not get benefits viewed in the no.
Yes, correct. They do not get the benefit package that a full-time teacher would get.
Okay. Further questions, comments? Are there any no votes on House Bill 2619? Seeing none and hearing none, House Bill 2619 has passed. Budget bills previously reported out, Senate Bill 5520, the Department of Justice, Senator Hannan.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, members, Senate Bill 5520 is the budget bill for the Department of Justice. It's been through this committee once, went to the floor of the Senate and passed, back over to the House, and then was sent back down the Ways and Means. The only action the subcommittee did was to reduce the Department's general fund by $569,898, or a 4% of the total, and then backfilled with other funds expenditure limitations with a like amount. And the net effect is that they're going to receive money from the tobacco tax settlement legal fees of an estimated $600,000. What this does is allow us to back out that much of general fund and insert the legal fees collection from the tobacco tax settlement. There is no opposition. The Attorney General supports it. And we would move to send it back out to the House with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Hannan. Any comments? Questions? Are there any no votes on Senate Bill 5520?
Probably no vote before, so I'm here a no vote.
Okay, let the record show that even though we saved another $500,000, that Senator Yee is still on. Representative Schrader.
I feel I'm still a no vote because I need to save more money in the other funds category than we have today.
Okay, Representative West.
Question for Senator Yee, is there a level at which you'd be a yes vote?
work on it.
Well, the attorney general fee is increasing much more than last session. It was, what, $69 last
$79.
Now it is $90. So this is a, what is this, a 15% increase?
Well, it's a significant increase. I don't know. I mean, I
yes, uh-huh. And it affects all agencies.
Right.
And I hear that maybe there is more efficiency they can achieve in the department before they can have such a significant increase.
Mr. Chair, I
do have a question.
Okay. Chair of the committee.
I was going to, I share your initial concern, Senator Yee. This is not something that we in the committee took lightly. We worked very hard with the department. I want to compliment the department on a very collaborative attitude. And in fact, when we looked at it and we felt we couldn't do any more, we brought it through this body and went off the Senate, and all of us, many of us, were just uncomfortable with the size of the fee increase. We brought it back to LFO and looked at it again. And we can sit up here and we can pat ourselves on the back and call ourselves great budget cutters, you know, at the expense of good public policy. And after we looked at it again, we decided no, it was better public policy to allow the larger increase. And this is not something that we did lightly or cavalierly. This is something that was looked at twice very thoroughly. And again, I want to compliment the department, and we looked at it in their understanding, their cooperation in taking the second $580,000. I want to point out that, and I think we protected them pretty well in the budget notes and the budget narrative, that this could leave the Consumer Protection and Fraud Division short next biennium if we don't address that in additional funding next biennium. But this is not a budget, fellow members, that was rushed or cursorily brushed through. I mean, this was looked at very, very thoroughly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Chair.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I was going to ask a question, but I answered my own question. We did have a concern, and we heard the concern of the members here on fall and the members in sub about the increase in the fee. When we worked the budget the first time, the number of people indicated being upset about the going from 79, and they had originally asked for 92, and we had worked them down to $90. So after it had come back to the Senate floor, as Representative Westland said, we did try very hard to see if we could further reduce the Attorney General's fee from 90 down to, hopefully 89. And frankly, we just weren't able to do that. And the big workload driver for the Attorney General and for many other branches of our government, the judicial branch and also in our indigent defense, the big drivers are the workloads for criminal appeals. And so one other difference we did do in this budget is we did add a budget note, it's on your back page, that speaks to having our legal experts, our Department of Justice, and the judicial branch look in the interim for ways to, and maybe come back to us with a proposal for changing the statute next biennium, ways to reduce the number and cost of appeals, without violating the defendant's constitutional rights. And I think that's very important. They are the legal experts, and they could help us in this. We do allow more appeals than are required by federal law, and so there are some ways we could probably reduce our costs, and we've asked them to do that. So perhaps we won't be looking next time if they're successful in finding ways to reduce those appeals. Perhaps we won't be looking at another giant increase in their fee. So just so everyone keeps that in mind, next session we should be looking for some ways to reduce criminal appeal.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, for your excellent explanation. Any further questions, Senator Yee?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to say I do appreciate the efforts the committee putting scrutinizing the budget and the shifting of funds this time so we can use less general funds. And I appreciate that. But but I just feel very concerned about the increase in attorney general's fees and the amount of 15% increase and the FTE increase in 15%. At least this is about 159 position increase. So my no vote is my expression of concern and frustration. Maybe other departments can request less attorney general use. Is there any way they can hire more in-house attorneys, get all the work prepared, so there will be less time demand on attorney general's part?
Well, we're working, Senator Yee, as the co-chair mentioned, we are working on that in DAC. We have a budget known also on the DAC budget in regards to it. We're trying to get at the very issue that you're discussing.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Patridge.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Mm-hmm. To expand on that, we've asked that there be gatekeepers at each agency, and the DAS budget has that in it, so every time an agency turns around, they're not picking up the phone to ask for Attorney General's advice, and that they have to go through a gatekeeper in each department. And that was a concern of ours. In fact, that was a concern partially from the department, from the Attorney General's office, was that, you know, they have some agencies who they have had problems with. They've tried to deal with it internally, and we're asking the DAS to come in and look at that on that basis. And we hope that that will reduce some of the costs for Attorney General in the future and keep the budget down as well.
Thank you. Representative Wessel.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. In addressing Senator Yee's concern about FTE, we too shared that concern. And one of the things that we must recognize on this committee is that our Department of Justice, the attorneys in our Department of Justice, handle three times the caseload that our surrounding states, you know, counterpart Department of Justice's handle. I mean, they're really quite, you know, exceptional in the amount of work they get out compared to our other states. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that the other states aren't doing a good job and that we're, you know, doing exceptional work. I mean, maybe someplace in the middle is the truth of that statement, but the crux of the matter is, and part of the reason for the FTE increase is that, quite frankly, we hire government attorneys a heck of a lot cheaper than if we have to go out on the street and hire private attorneys, and that's what the department has had to do. So we're actually saving money employing these additional FTE. And it's one of those catch-22s where, you know, we're not going to win. Let me make a larger comment. We just heard the Crime Commission budget and a public safety sub, and without editorializing too much, one of the things that they really haven't done in the past was perform their statutorial obligation with regard to, you know, analyzing a long-term, comprehensive, compatible, coordinated justice system in this state. I mean, everything from the arrests to the public defenders, the prosecutors, the judges, and the incarceration policies. And we have strongly recommended to them through budget notes and other things, which you'll be seeing when the budget gets to this committee, that we finally really sit down and take a look at an integrated justice system. That's something we don't have now, Senator Yee. It's something that you are correctly responding to. Wait a minute, I'm concerned about this. And I think we could have more justice for less money if we take a better look at that. And that's one of the things I hope to be doing in the interim.
Okay, Representative Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I was among those members in this body that expressed my concern originally about the amount of the increase and had conversations with Co-Chair Lewis about that. But I appreciate the efforts that have been done. I think the budget note and looking at how we can reduce the cost of appeals is good. I think that the doorkeeper concept that Representative Patridge talked about is also important. I just make one other comment, that I think it is important for us to strike a balance, that we shouldn't go so far about saying the only purpose is to reduce the Attorney General's costs and have that be the only purpose, because we need to be careful that we are, in fact, encouraging agencies to be aware of possible suits and possible legal liability, and we don't want to be so negative about any use of the Attorney General's staff that we ignore liability items. And that's why I think the doorkeeper concept is really good, because that way they can determine when this is a real risk and when it's not. But I think we need to do a balance, and I appreciate the work of the committee, and I'm willing to vote yes.
Any further comments? Question. I think we have a roll call vote. Roll call vote on Senate Bill 5520, Department of Justice.
I am not going to do a roll call.
Yes.
All right. 5520, Department of Justice, is passed. Next, Senate Bill 5536, Secretary of State, Senator Trump.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. As you said, Senate Bill 5536 is the budget for the Secretary of State. We've already dealt with this and passed this body before. It went to the floor of the Senate and then was called back on the recommendation of Legislative Council because there's a small addition that had to be made to explaining the budget. We needed to add for the biennium beginning July 1, 1999, through the language in the bill. And so it brought back the subcommittee. We made that amendment. We sent it back to you. Hopefully you will approve it.
Hey, Senator Trump, any questions, comments? Representative Schrader.
Well, why did, I forget, and we probably discussed this before, but why was the Secretary of State pulled the packages 143 and 145?
Well, that's been discussed earlier and all. That's all. Well, since I remember the details.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the Secretary of State was willing to pull packages 143 and 145. 143, I believe, is the they had intended to incorporate in their base budget technology. They decided to voluntarily withdraw that. It's included to SNS, the existing SNS. 145 was a request to fund a voter registration system, a centralized voter registration system. The Secretary of State would do that. There's a substantive bill introduced that would statutorily require the Secretary of State to have a implement a centralized voter system, voter registration system. He felt that was the place to deal with the money there. Okay. Further questions? Are there any no votes in the Secretary of State budget? Hearing none and seeing none, Senate Bill 5536, Secretary of State has passed. Madam Co-Chair, do you have any comments?
No, I just thank the subcommittees. You all are doing an excellent job on getting your 4% reduction. We don't always hit exactly 4%, but we're getting good reductions and still ending up with good budgets that protect programs and services. And I thank all the full and subcommittee members for their work.
Thank you. Everyone was here. The committee will meet immediately. Okay, the transportation committee will meet immediately.
Thank you. Okay.